Good morning. If you would take out your Bibles, or if you would like, turn in your bulletins to the scripture this morning. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. This is entitled The Greatest Commandment. Follow along as I read. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Good reminder of what things are important as we think about who God is.
Take out your Bibles, please. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. And this is the same passage that we read last week. And we did part one, love God. So now we have to do part two, love people. There is something simple about Christianity and about something simple about following Jesus Christ. And this is the simplicity of it. He's calling us, first of all, to love God. Secondly, to love people. And that's our task. And everything else relates to that. Are we loving God and are we loving people? Or how can we better love God and how can we better love people? Or how can I appropriate this in my life or make sure that I'm doing this every day? I'm loving God and I'm loving people. And every person that I meet, I love God and I love people. In every situation that I face, I love God and I love people. Spoke of this last week. This is the final week of Jesus. Probably Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, but I think it's probably Tuesday, and called the Day of Questions, and a number of individuals come to him and ask him questions, number of different groups. Who gives you the authority to do these things, to teach, clean the temple, enter the city victoriously on Triumphal Sunday? By what authority do you do this? Question one. Question two. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Question three, the Sadducees, whose wife will be married to this woman after she marries seven different brothers. Question four, this one. And this man has been standing around and he's listened to all the questions and he's heard all the good answers. So finally he asked Jesus this question. This is a question that they often ask great rabbis. What is the greatest commandment? If there's one that's the most important, which one is it? And so Jesus tells them this one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the first commandment. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. At the end of the discussion, the lawyer says, or the scribe says, "You're right. This is greater than all the other commandments. To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself is greater than any amount of sacrifices and gifts." Jesus says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." Now notice nobody dared ask him any more questions. That's what the text says. Now, maybe nobody dares because they're going, "He's too smart. The answers are too good. If we ask him questions, we're just making him look better. He's getting more popular the more we try to trick him." Or maybe when they hear Jesus say, "You're not far from the kingdom of God," they're going, "We can't ask him any more questions. We're going to get converted. It's time to shut up. We're losing people now. Our own are going to Jesus." Jesus is quoting when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He's quoting Leviticus chapter 19. If you have your Bible, and turn there quickly with me. Leviticus chapter 19. If you notice, if you have an NIV, this is the title to the chapter, Various Laws. And in the chapter, there are all kinds of different laws. Starting in verse 11, it says, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of blind, but fear your God, I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life, I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And you see that a lot of those commands are just, how am I going to live with my neighbor, and what good should I do, and what things can't I do that harm him? And love your neighbor as yourself is kind of like a summary of all of those. But notice there are some other weird kind of commands in the chapter. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your seed with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. I like to always pick on that one because my bet is that all of you are breaking that one right now. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. Probably your underwear is a cotton, polyester, rayon kind of blend. That's my guess. I don't really know. But my guess is that you're not wearing 100% cotton or 100% linen or 100% wool. I know Bob Ripley wrote an article in The Observer making fun of the scriptures and some of the commands we find in the Bible. And it's easy to do that by reading a list of that, and you see, love your neighbor as yourself. Right next to that, do not wear mixed clothing. And it's easy to go, who is keeping the Bible? And it's easy to show, it's ridiculous, we don't keep the Bible. But this is not written specifically for Christians. This is written for a nation that is representing God to a world. And in representing God to a world, they're a nation set apart. And so they have to live apart, and they have to live holy so that they're distinct and different. As Christians, that's not the way we're living, nor are we supposed to. Right? We eat pork, and we eat shrimp. We eat lobster. All of those are condemned in the Old Testament. They could not eat those things. Why? Because they were living a separate kind of lifestyle, picturing to the world that we have a holy, separate God, and the way they lived was a picture of that. And so as you go through this, they are doing things in their law that we are not required to follow today. But Jesus says, if you were going to sum it up, what we're supposed to do today, love God first, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's still valid. It was valid for them, and it's valid for Jesus, and it's valid for us today. That's the summary of the law. Here are the descriptions that Jesus gives to this. He says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Do you want to hear what all the prophets are telling you to do? Love God. Love people. You want to know what all the law is trying to instruct you to do? Love God. Love people. Jesus says there's no commandment greater than these. This is it. The scribe, in responding, this is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is more important than whatever you might do or bring to God or how much you give. It's loving God and loving people. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, quotes the same passage, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love is fulfillment of the law. Galatians chapter 5, he says the same thing. James, the brother of Jesus, says that this is the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. The royal law, this is the big one. Now, what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? First of all, loving yourself is biblical. Loving yourself is biblical. It's assumed to be true. It's not a command. Nowhere in the Bible does it say love yourself. Jesus assumes that you are loving yourself. So he says, love your neighbor in the same way that you're already loving yourself. That's the idea. I'll ask you in a few minutes, how do you think you're loving yourself? I'll give you some examples. Love for yourself must be corrected, though, by loving God first and loving others. Otherwise, we have a life that is all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about meeting my needs. The error in Jesus' day, a man came up to Jesus and said, what commands should I keep? And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And what did he say? Who's my neighbor? In other words, I don't have to do that because I'm going to narrowly define who my neighbor is. So I'm just going to love all the people that are like me, all the people that I really want to hang around with, I'll love them. That was the Jews in Jesus' day. I don't have to love centurions. I don't have to love Romans. I don't have to love Samaritans. I don't have to love foreigners. I don't have to love slaves. I just have to love Jews that are like me. Jesus says that's wrong. He tells them the story of the Good Samaritan. Who do you love? The person in need, whatever person that is. Even if he's a different race, different nationality, different religion, you love him like you would yourself. The error today is I must love myself first. That's why when we go into a bookstore, the self-help section is huge. Because that's what we're into, right? I need to like myself more, or I need to improve myself, or I need to better myself. And Joanne and I are going to have to go on a diet once again. So we feel better about our shape and about our size. Hey, that's this world. The error today is I have to love myself first, and then when I love myself first, I love my neighbor. I don't have to love my neighbor because I don't love myself yet. And that's a false premise. You're equating loving myself with self-esteem. That's not what Jesus is not talking about, self-esteem. Do you like yourself? Are you where you want to be? Jesus is saying, are you doing good for yourself each and every day? So love as you love yourself. How do I love myself? Okay, so let's just stop and think. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love yourself today? I seek what is good for me. I desire what is good for me and makes me happy. I suggest to you that that's what you do every day. Do what you think is good for yourself. I'll give you an example here. Let's see here. See this on the news this week? The lady. I'll just try to do it from memory. I got the write-up from CNN. It's 5 pages long. I don't have to read the whole thing. The left-hand picture, about 11 years ago, she abandoned her family. And what was happening is she was being divorced by her husband, in the process of a divorce, and she was needing some financial assistance, and so she was applying for some aid, and she got turned down for aid. And she had 2 children, I think about age 8 and 10. And as she went and she was turned down, all these things were happening in her life. She was sitting in her car. She was sitting in her car and she was crying in a parking lot distraught. She didn't know what she was going to do. And three individuals came by and they said, "Are you okay? What can we do to help you?" And they said to her, "Listen, we're driving to Florida. Do you want to come with us?" And she said, "Yeah, I'll go to Florida with you." And left her children, left her family, left her house, left her problems. I suggest to you that she did it because she loved herself. She thought, "It's better for me if I leave all my problems behind, all my worries behind, and just run away. It's better for me." Her husband was, of course, greeted skeptically by the police. "Yeah, we're sure your wife has run away." He was a suspect. Children, devastated, weren't sure what happened to their mother, and they suspected foul play. They thought she had been kidnapped or killed or something like that, and they had given up. And she turned herself in a few days ago. There were no warrants outstanding for her arrest. She hadn't done a crime. I think now she's been charged. But she did this because she loved herself. And we live in a world where people think of themselves first. And Jesus says, first you love God, then you love others. How do I love myself? I seek what is good for me. I desire what is good for me and makes me happy. How do I love others? I need to seek what is good for them the way I seek what is good for myself. Desire what is good for them and makes them happy the same way I desire what is good and makes me happy. And you're going, "Wait just a second. If I did that, I'd have to spend a lot of my time helping others." Exactly. How do we love ourselves? We wake up every day and we want to be happy. We wake up every day and we want to eat some good food. Every day. We want to eat good food that is not rotten, but healthy. We want to have nice clothes to wear. We want to have safety and security in our life. We want to have medical attention when we need it and not have to pay for it. We want to have friends who we enjoy to spend time with. We want to have a nice place to live, and we want to have a place where people like us and we feel like we belong. We want our lives to be significant. We want to find meaning in our life. We want to have good jobs that provide fair reward for our work. We want to have enjoyable pastimes and pursuits. We want to do well in school and get good grades. Is that right, Michaela? Yeah. We need a more enthusiastic yes than that. Yeah. We want these things because we love ourselves. Jesus expects us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So then we should want others to be happy. Want others to have good food to eat. Want others to have good food to eat that's not rotten but healthy. Want others to have nice clothes to wear. Want others to have safety and security in their life. Want others to get the medical attention they need. Want others to have friends that they enjoy spending time with. Want others to have a place where people like them and they feel like they belong. Want others to have significant lives. Want others to find meaning in their life. Want others to have good jobs and get fair reward for their work. Want others to have enjoyable pastimes and pursuits. Want others to do well in school and have good grades. And if we love our neighbor as ourself, we will pursue what is good for them. Now, on Wednesday night, I mentioned, just as an example, how many of you have ever gone out for lunch? Okay, 10 of you have admitted it. The rest of you are scared. Oh no, what's going to happen? If we love others like we love ourselves, we'll treat others to lunch, right? Love others as yourselves. How many of you have ever fixed up your home? Okay, less. Absolutely, right? We want to fix up our homes. When we fix up our house, shouldn't we be helping someone else fix up their house? And it goes on and on and on. Love others as you love yourselves. We live individualistic lives where we think about ourselves all of the time. We take care of ourselves all of the time. And Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. Now, I have limits on the love. By the way, another example of love others as you love yourself. When Paul says, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies, Paul assumes that men are going to take care of themselves and they're going to eat, feed themselves. He says, you need to love your wife just like you love yourself. But he gives something further. He says, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's possible there's a man out there that just doesn't take good care of himself. But he says, okay, I've got something else. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. He gave his all for the church. So therefore, you give your all for your wife. The bottom of the screen, I said the first commandment does limit the second. The first commandment limits the second. How? If we're going to love ourselves and do what is best for us and do what will bring us the most happiness and the most satisfaction in life, Jesus says the way to do that is by loving God first. And if you love God first, you will find you have better self-esteem. Your life has more self-actualization than any other thing you can do in life. Love God first. And you will find this, that when you love God first and you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll find that love for others is best achieved by displaying God's goodness to them. Because the best thing for your neighbor is for them to love God first. Is that right? Yeah, that's true. And so when things happen in our lives and God does things in our life, the idea is that we should share that God has done that. Listen, I've had tragedy in my life, but God has brought me comfort. And so now I take that comfort and I share it with you so that God is magnified and love for God is increased. And that's the best thing I can do for you. When someone grabs a bottle and proceeds to get drunk, the thought process is, this is what I think the thought process is. I've never been drunk. I have no idea. But when someone grabs a bottle and proceeds to get drunk, I think the thought process is, I'm going to feel better because I drank this, or I'm going to feel less, and so I can live with life better because I drank this. That's self-love. And when we love ourselves and take God out of the picture and our neighbor out of the picture, we end up with individualism, destructiveness, and narcissism. That's the world we live in. This past week, we saw that in the Boston bombings, there have been more arrests as Jakar's friends covered up the evidence. And that's what happens when you love your neighbor as yourself, but there's no love for God in the picture. So here's my friend. He's in trouble. I know he did the bombing. Let's throw away the backpack. Let's throw away the emptied out fireworks so that he won't get in trouble. And it's a distorted kind of love. We're doing it to help our friend. But there's no love for God involved. Loving God first puts a corrective on loving my neighbor as myself. If you put God first, you don't cover up crimes. A great commitment to the great commandment grows a great church. This is the great commandment. By the way, Rick Warren said that. Direct quote from his book. Great commitment to the great commandment grows a great church. That's true. I changed it a little bit, made it a little more individual. A great Christian. What do we want from you as a Christian? What does God want from you as a follower of Jesus Christ? He wants a great commitment to the great commandment. I'm going to love God and I'm going to love people. So what does God want me to do today? He wants you to love God, love people. Wake up every morning, love God, love people. What does God want me to do with this person right now? And I think that's a question we need to ask every day as we meet people. What does God want me to do with this person that I'm meeting? He wants you to love them. Love them. The Apostle Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he took upon himself the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross." You see, he was very God, Jesus was. But he did not cling to that at all costs. He said, "No, I will give it up because mankind needs a Savior." And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And that is him putting our interests, ahead of his own. Because being God is good. But he saw that we needed to be saved. And we're going to celebrate that now as we sit around the table, as Jesus Christ himself demonstrated, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful for the clarity of your word and for the clarity of this commandment that Jesus gave to us as he summarized all of the Bible. Love God and love people. Father, we have not accomplished this. I pray that you would help us to do it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.